Welcome to the Padre Island Podcast on the Sunday after the Feast of Corpus Christi. Back to ordinary time here for the 11th Sunday. And the passage is, or rather the date today, is June the 14th, 2026. Again, 11th Sunday of ordinary time. Passage is Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through chapter 10, verse 8. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew; James the son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew the tax collector; James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon from Cana, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus: "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We might emphasize the beginning of the passage, how Jesus' heart was moved with pity for these people, the crowds who were misguided, often underfed in terms of spiritual nourishment, troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. And he's their shepherd, and he's happy to be there for them. It fulfills Ezekiel chapter 34, after all. John chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd." At the same time, it's a big task, and he's going to need to rally some assistance to recruit some people, partially because of the numbers, but also practically when he ascends into heaven, he's going to need this to continue. So he's forming his church, he's forming his apostles, his missionaries. And just like a good teacher, you give the person a chance to practice, and you give them enough slack that they can make mistakes, but not too much slack that they're just going to completely fizzle out. So these apostles, Jesus is very intentional about the timing of this, that they're going to have a chance to go forth and to live out the mission, and then come back and receive more formation. Pray to the master of the harvest to send out laborers. So that's a good prayer in preparation for these 12 apostles as they are named off, and what Jesus does with them, the mission he sends them on. They are the laborers. They are the ones to bring in the harvest. They have a role in God's plan of salvation. They're participating. And yes, they're flawed, but that's how it's all set up. That's how the Lord is working, through weak human beings back then as well as today. So he summons these 12 disciples, whom he called apostles, gives them authority over unclean spirits. So he doesn't say, "Okay, go ahead and drive out demons." And they're like, "We don't know how to do that." Or, "Yeah, we tried, it didn't work." Instead, he equips them for what they need. He gives them authority, the ability to do this, the ability to call upon the name of the Lord for people to be delivered from evil. And he gave them authority to cure every disease and every illness. So much for the medical field. We'll just cure them for in the name of the Lord. So this kind of widespread healing is now available, which is hard to imagine. But we see how this is how Jesus designs it, at least in this instance. And they get to put that into practice and see what happens. All right, so they name off the 12 apostles, and hopefully that's familiar to us. It doesn't go into a whole biography of them. It's almost like just giving the characters names, like you were on a team or a cast at the end of a play, except it's not the end. It's closer to the beginning here. And then Jesus sends them out, gives them instructions, and the instructions aren't multiple pages. It's something easy to remember. First of all, where not to go. Not to go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Yeah, but I thought Jesus was sending them to the whole world. Yeah, that's what he would do after his resurrection. But right now, it's earlier, and we don't want them to be completely overwhelmed, because when you have a stack of things to do, sometimes it's hard to get started. But if you have something very manageable, something within range, you know, there's a better chance you'll carry it out. So pagans and Samaritans have their place. It's just not the timing for that right now. So don't do that. Avoid that. Reminds me of when you can eat from any tree of the garden, just not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And why is it that we're often attracted to what we're not allowed to have? But maybe him saying avoid Samaritan territory and pagan territory, maybe they were relieved by that to say, okay, yeah, we don't want to go there anyway. Well, where are we to go? Well, he finishes that before they can ask. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So they're not preaching to sheep or to raccoons or possums or something. No, it's people. But sheep is an analogy that was carried over from earlier in this passage. The people are like sheep without a shepherd. That's something they understood back then. That was an image that was meaningful. So the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Notice, Israel, how many sons did Jacob have? 12 sons, 12 apostles. So it's this new Israel to try to help restore the old Israel. Have you ever thought of it like that? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. You could think of it as back in, after Solomon, there was the divide where the tribes of Joseph and Benjamin remained in Judah, or rather, how'd that work? Maybe it was Judah and Benjamin, I think. Anyway, two tribes there, and then 10 tribes to the north, and sometimes they call those the lost tribes. So, house of Israel, tribes, family, these are synonymous terms, or very similar terms anyway. And so is he talking about on a large scale like that, or is he talking about people that just stopped going to church, or people who maybe kind of lost their way? Well, I would think it would be that second one, at least to start, because, yeah, I mean, that's how you are able to accomplish great things a little bit at a time. And where is that arena? Well, you got to win the minds and hearts of those who maybe are lost, and maybe don't know they're lost, but by being captivated by the gospel of Christ and receiving healing, then there's a chance that they're going to turn to the Lord Jesus. And unlike after Pentecost, this is a chance that if someone does turn their life around, Jesus is still there in the flesh. So yes, they have the proclamation, there'll be access to the sacraments later, but they could follow them and get to Jesus that way. What a gift that is in that present time. As you go, make this proclamation. So remember, they're supposed to preach, heal, raise the dead. Now that this is where he says that. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that's what they are to say. That's to characterize how they're going to approach this. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And while they're at it, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. It's not, well, bandage up those with a sprained ankle, or, you know, if someone has a cold, give them some medicine, or give them a little cough drop. No, there's intense things like death, leprosy, demons, sicknesses that are life-threatening. That's what they're going to intervene with. That's where they're going to bring salvation, God's saving power. And that's going to lead to deeper faith. That's going to lead to encounter with our Savior. So if you're in the marriage vocation, think about what God has done in your life and your vocation up till now, in the companionship that you have, in how you are part of a mission together to become a great marriage, a great family, and that there's ways for you to labor in what you're doing, not to overdo it, but to find what's the right fit given the circumstances. And God is using you to offer sacrifice as well, and to be willing to do what it takes to bring the gospel to others by word and action. And even if we're not able to raise the dead or cleanse lepers, maybe someone in spiritual death or spiritual leprosy might find new life through the witness that you and I provide. And that goes for those who have been divorced, that you're in position to be able to relate to others and be compassionate, because what you've been through gives you a certain glimpse of that part of human nature, and those experiences can build wisdom and stamina. And you know what it feels like to have unrest and dis-ease in your own experience. And if you've found how to climb out of that, then you have something to offer someone who's in that situation. Or maybe you're not even close to climbing out of it yourself. Well, the Lord doesn't wait till we're polished. He saves us while we're still sinners. And maybe while you work with others, the Lord is also bringing His saving power to you, bringing His intervention, His good news, all kinds of blessings into your life. We'll stop there for now. Thank you for listening today. I'm Father Peter O'Donnell, a priest in Abilene, Junction City, in Chapman, Kansas. May Almighty God bless and strengthen you always, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.